Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Ingram, my BF, took it to the house and finished it off with a nice little spinorama at the end. It was a thing of beauty.
Your pillow talk that evening must have been spectacular.
Amazing. Oh, yeah. I put that one on the spank bank.
Should we retry this?
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping at dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you are getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot means it's a great deal, a yellow dot means it's a good deal, and a red dot means you should probably just stay home. Use the promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers or my favorite, the nacho helmet. What are you waiting for? The promo code ACAA, $20 off your first purchase. Life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, Dave. Kevin,
you know, it's a nacho, but it's really not just the nacho helmet. It's a hat bowl.
It's a hat bowl. Yeah. I mean, it's a nacho batting helmet kind of. So here's the thing. Kevin bailed at the last minute. So I'm going to have to rant about Game of Thrones, show finale being trash that Kevin won't be able to enjoy my rant. Andrew may or may not join us because his mom is in town. So people in the chat room, feel free to fire as many fucking questions as you like. So here's the thing.
We have people listening from Germany, by the way, live right now.
Oh, and by the way, I did another patron spotlight. This time I did Monadula. So in like a month, you're gonna get all the information and insider facts and nuggets about the Netherlands Saints fans that you ever wanted in your entire life. But he actually has a cool story about how he met Thomas Morstead and snuck into his family gathering. It's pretty cool. So here's the thing.
4:09 a.m. in Germany. Wow.
This. Yeah. Jesus. What's that?
It said it's 4:09 a.m. in Germany, and somebody is listening to us right now.
Are they
at 4:09 a.m. in their time zone?
Are they an insomniac or something?
Need to go to bed. I don't know. You need to go to bed.
I mean, that's why I say to the people that listen or follow or Saints fans in foreign countries. I mean, you know, Monadula, it's like 7 hours difference, man. So when the Saints kick off at 7 o'clock, he's getting up at like 3, 4 in the morning to watch the Monday night game. I mean, or a Sunday night game. That's dedication, man. So the Saints news that happened that we're going to touch on first is Tampa Bay is going to cut Gerald McCoy. And I know the Saints signed a bunch of defensive linemen.
Come to Papa. Come
Mario
to Papa.
Edwards, and they signed Malcolm Brown. But I am all about players that the Saints face regularly that I feel like kick the Saints' ass, and Gerald McCoy has done that. And Sean Payton has a fetish, Dave, for NFC South players that do good against the Saints. Gerald McCoy, could it happen? I feel like
I
wanted to.
Come on down. Come on down, Gerald McCoy. I mean, could it happen? Yeah, possibly. I mean, what kind of contract do we think he's going to get? Saints right now have like, what, 8, 9 million cap space? Which,
all
I
of
mean,
it? Gerald McCoy would get all of it?
I mean, for the Saints, that's like a lot. That's like the most money they've ever had to spend in cap space. And obviously you could structure deals so that you don't even need all of that right now. So, why not? I mean, come on.
So Brian Hart, he says, I usually listen on demand. I work at a topless club in Dallas. If that is not our target demo, Dave,
wait,
I don't know.
Are they playing it in the club, like the dancers are dancing
no, I guess
to the sound of our voice.
I guess Brian is off tonight. So he asks, Ndamukong Suh or McCoy, you can only have one.
Oh, I would take McCoy over Suh for sure.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not even close.
The thing is with McCoy is he's still got a lot left. I think he's going to have a lot of suitors. Like, I think he'll be out of the Saints price range because I think he's going to get like 4 years, $40 million. He's going to get like 9 or 10 a year, and he's not going to – well, I mean, here's the thing. Does he want a ring chase or does he want one more deal? You know, like, if he's willing to ring chase, I think the Saints would be willing to give him a one-year deal with voidable whatever and pay him – probably $8 to $10 million if the Saints are interested. But if he wants $45 million and $20 million guaranteed, he's not going to be.
He's going to the Giants.
Oh, is he going to? You saw that already?
I think so. I mean, no. I mean, I'm just saying, like, people were talking about the Giants as a potential landing spot for him. So
the Giants, they don't make any sense. They're in like a full rebuild. I mean, they'd have to pay him a boatload of money because that's just going to be.
What we're talking about.
If
he wants to go for a ring, he can come to New Orleans. If he wants to get paid, he can go somewhere like Cleveland or New York or whatever.
So we're going to do a programming note. We were going to do and look, the cheesy graphic that I did for the live stream with Nick Fairley's eyes bugging out of his head, Spagnuolo, Mike Cirillo, and Stephon Anthony. It was going to be the final four of the Sean Payton worst decision bracket, but with no Kevin and no Andrew, with me and Dave here, we're gonna push that off for a week, so it'll be fine.
I think everybody would probably prefer that. I mean, we've been doing it every week. We've been talking about the same topics when we do the bracket. Yeah, every week. So I think it's good.
So I got to think
Blake will build up a little suspense, build up some suspense.
So I got to thinking, Dave. You know, there was a bit of Saints news, but it was on the ridiculous end. So, of course, it's one of the main things we're talking about tonight. Ted Ginn is out here offering people $10,000 to race him. If they can beat him, he'll pay him $10,000. So it got me to thinking, before we talk about is that a good idea for people, whatever, is there anything in your life that you would feel confident enough if you did it versus someone that you – if they did it better than you, you would be willing to pay them $10,000. Is there anything in your life that you're that good at?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. No, not really. I'm trying to think of, you know, my best sport that I, you know, playing.
It doesn't even have to be a sport. It can be any. I'm opening it to anything.
I understand, but like my best sport was hockey, and obviously, I'd be in the NHL if I felt confident enough that I could beat anybody at that. And so, I mean, I'm thinking about like what I do at work. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm really good at handling difficult customers. Like nobody handles a difficult customer better than me. it's the only thing I could think of, I guess.
I mean, I'm crippled,
I'm not the world's greatest dad, you know, so obviously I have my flaws as a parent. I'm not perfect there either.
I'm crippled, so any athletic event is out. So just get that. Drinking, I feel like I'm past my prime, you know?
No. Beating. I'm not going head to head with like some 21-year-old Tulane student. I could never do that anymore.
So I can't drink. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty patient with my kid. I mean, I can deal with irate kids pretty well, but there's nothing. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Ted, I wonder, they have a bunch of people on Twitter that have tried to take Ted Ginn up on it, like a high school kid who ran like a 9.96 with win aided. He's like, come on.
Yeah, he set the record. He set the record for fastest. 100?
Yeah.
Yeah. Under 10 seconds.
So,
wait, so did Ginn take him up on the offer or no?
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet, but that would be great if Ted Ginn would do that, because that could fill time for us in June. So I'm all for it.
Well, then I saw on Reddit, I thought there was something with, you know, the Braves, you know, they have that...
Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. So that dude needs to challenge Ted Ginn, too. And Ted Ginn won't get a five-second head start.
I don't know, man. They've had some people that I wouldn't say they've beaten Freeze with a head start. You know, a couple of people. So I don't know, like who I. But I hope Ted Ginn does it. You know what would be cool, Dave, if he lined up like five people and he raced them in like an hour window, and if he could just dust them all, that would be pretty fun. If ESPN could put that on ESPN Plus, and I pay $5 a month for ESPN Plus, I would stream that to my TV for an hour to see if Ted Ginn could roast some fools. Would you watch that if ESPN put it on the Ocho?
yeah, I would, but I'm a Saints fan. I'm not sure, and I'm on a Saints podcast, so I mean I have to watch it. I'm legally obligated to watch it, but I don't know whether just some Joe Blow fan is going to watch that.
Well, here's the thing, and look, I know
nothing will beat the time I saw miniature golf on ESPN. It was like on ESPN 2. It was like sometime in the middle of the day they had mini golf on ESPN. They need more of that.
I don't know if they still do it, but I remember in college they used to put on that fucking card game Magic the Gathering at like 2 in the morning.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Because people that are under 30 probably don't remember this, but there was a time where ESPN, they didn't – like now when ESPN doesn't have anything to run – they just either run a live SportsCenter or they run SportsCenter that's recorded, right? So basically, from like 10 at night to the next morning or however long, it's just SportsCenter, SportsCenter, SportsCenter. That used to not be the case. Like, they used to have SportsCenter with Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, and they would run it, and then they'd have like the West Coast version maybe. But at like 1 in the morning, they would start running weird shit. It would be like Tractor Pulls and Magic the Gathering, and they would run that from like 1 to like 4 or 5. Then they would have exercise shows from like 5 to 7, and then they would start with the replay of the Sports Center, but they wouldn't do that until 7-8 in the morning. And they would put like weird shit on. I would watch the Ted Ginn roasting. You know what he should do too, Dave? They should have people
this is
from
for
like
charity,
high
right?
schools
this
and different charity. Colleges, you know.
Yeah,
they could fill. I think if they did it, Dave, I think they could fill half of the Tulane football stadium. Like not the full stadium, but they could just sell tickets to one side for charity. I think people in New Orleans would show up for that.
Oh, they could. You might even be able to fill up the whole thing. I mean, people uptown. You know, that's easy. Just to head on over to Yeoman Stadium, bring the kids or whatever, on like a random Tuesday afternoon, especially in the summer. I think that would totally make a bunch of money, just like the charity softball thing. I think they're doing, where are they doing the charity? I think they're having that at Greer Field.
Oh, wow.
Church and Stadium. I think they're having that charity softball game at Tulane.
Yeah. So, people are saying in the chat room about they're talking about McCoy while we're talking about Ted Ginn racing. And Alex asks, imagine a front four with McCoy when Rankins gets back. I like McCoy, Alex, just because I don't know, and we talked about this last week, I don't know what Rankins is going to be when he gets back in November. I don't think you can just say, oh, he's going to be back and he's going to be 2018 Rankins, which was the best Rankins we've ever seen. So I would love McCoy as sort of a deluxe insurance policy against Rankins struggling, coming back later, not being the same guy. Like, I would love it. And to me, Dave, like, burn that cap space. Like, they've signed all the draft picks, right? Like, it does. Like, you can't. Like, you can roll it over a little bit, but like, it didn't, yeah, like, if you're not spending it, it didn't help when you win a Super Bowl, you know?
No, but you can roll it over, especially if you're, you know, expecting you're going to need to pay, your once-in-a-lifetime wide receiver named Michael Thomas and your once-in-a-lifetime you know, do everything back in Alvin Kamara. So they might want to consider actually saving some of that money. But going back to Rankins, this isn't I wouldn't necessarily call this a hot take, but you can call it that if you want. But I personally think Saints fans just need to forget about Rankins for 2019. I mean, I think it's going to be a wash for him. I don't think he's going to be coming back until later in the season. When he does come back, I think it's going to take a good little while for him to get up to speed. I think we should just shelve Rankins for 2019 and look to 2020. To be honest with you,
I agree, and that's why I'm really, really hoping that Sean Payton gets the fever for an NFC South player and does it so and goes after him, because I just think I know Okafor bounced back from his Achilles, but they said Rankins was worse, and also Okafor did his halfway through the 2017 season, so he had way longer to recover. I mean, Rankins did that middle January. I know this is a Saints podcast, and we'll get to the people in the chat room, but I want to touch on something that Andrew did to me today that I didn't appreciate at all. The Pelicans won the lottery and got Zion, and I left a voicemail on Andrew's phone that I thought was in privacy and was intimate, and he wouldn't leak to the world, but he leaked it to the world, and this is what it sounded like. The moment the Pels got Zion, this is what I do when I'm not doing this podcast.
The Pels got Zion, dude. They got Zion. They got Zion. Oh, I've never been this happy. Oh, this is great. They got Zion.
That's the entirety of the voicemail, Dave.
I'm glad in the voicemail that you say that you're happy, because otherwise I would have thought you were in a lot of pain.
You wouldn't have known.
I sounded like you were in a lot of pain.
My wife. When they got Zion, I was running around the house, and she's like, "Who is this Zion? Who is Zion Williams? I don't know what this is. Why are you so excited about basketball?" And I'm like, "You don't understand. He's so good." But the reason why I bring that up is, Dave, it's been a rough fucking year sports-wise for Louisiana, right? You know, the Saints in the NFC Championship game. LSU had their coach suspended. I know you don't necessarily care about that, but he ended up coming back. We've had a lot of rough. Anthony Davis wanting to get traded. You know, he said, I want to get traded, so the Pels had to shut him down, and their season started out so good. They started 4-0. They ended up, it was a total disaster. So 2019 has really been a horrible, horrible sports year for Louisiana, I think you could argue. And that was the first, ray of sunshine in the dark clouds. Do you think that winning the lottery is a turning point that maybe it shows that the rest of 2019 isn't going to be as shitty as the beginning of 2019?
I mean, you know, if those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it, you know, let's look at where we are with Anthony Davis. I mean, this whole Zion hype, we haven't seen this hype since when? Oh, yeah, that's right. Anthony Davis, when the Pelicans won the lottery and got Anthony Davis. And look what they've done. Look at the situation we're in now. So it's great that they won the lottery. It's great that they won the opportunity to draft Zion. But it's
Angry Ocho said, is Zion a terminal illness? That's what it sounded like.
I mean, it's more than that. It's the big question is like, what the hell are they going to do with him? How are they going to build a team around him? Are they going to keep AD? Now, this whole thing is like totally, you know, switched me, because obviously, you know, AD, forget it. I wanted him gone. I you know, the whole that's all folks shirt thing. I think that was such a douchey dick move. and now I'm like, well, shit. Nah,
and then he did. The worst thing was he didn't
still,
even
he's
own
still
it.
A really
he's like,
awesome
I just wore that shirt because they put it out. Like, I just wore that shirt because they put it out for
my
me.
Mother
like,
laid, right. My mother laid it out.
Admit that he doesn't dress himself or pretend that he doesn't dress himself. Then just say, yeah, I wore the shirt. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. So, But so now I'm intrigued because now I want to see two of potentially the best basketball players in the NBA play together on our team, on a New Orleans team. So I don't know. How do you feel about AD now? Do you want him gone or do you want him to stay?
I want him to stay, but I don't think he wants to stay because now he's going to be
might.
If he stays, he'll get the mega max contracts, but he'll be in a small market and he'll be overshadowed by the new guy Zion. But I think me and Andy,
well, this is either about winning a championship or it's not. And
I don't think Anthony Davis cares. I think he wants to go somewhere where he's the star and he can do more marketing and he'd be in a big city and all that. Like,
okay.
You know, but my thing is, Dave, I think the best part of this is for all the Saints fans here that are NOLA fans too, is this is going to make training camp get here so fast, because June and July is going to just – the Pelicans are going to dominate the news cycle on ESPN for the NBA. And usually, Dave, you've been doing this podcast with me since we started. You know that, like, from the middle of June to the middle of the July, it just – it's agony, not
brutal.
Doing the podcast necessarily, because that's only once a week. But
yeah.
It's agony, like, waiting for the Saints to finally get here in the preseason. But I think the Pelicans will help us get to that point faster, if that makes sense. It's going to make the summer just zip on by.
Well, well, I mean, like, why? What do they do in the summer as far as basketball?
Well, they'll have
concerned.
The draft. They'll have the draft at the end of June,
oh,
and then they'll
right.
have free. Then they'll have the NBA right. draft in end of June. Then they'll have to trade AD, and then they'll have NBA free agency in July. And the Pelicans will basically control that because they'll have the top pick in the draft, and they'll either trade AD, agree to a trade, and get more picks during the draft, or they'll trade him after the draft, and teams will have to wait to see what the Pelicans do with AD before they can sign other free agents, or teams are going to wait to see what happens. You know, like Kevin Durant may be like, well, I'm going to wait to sign with the Knicks to see if Anthony Davis gets traded there. And it's like everything's going to be dependent upon the Pelicans in free agency for the NBA. So July is just going to be the Pelicans' month. They're just going to run the news cycle. And it'll just
They don't have to trade AD till February. I mean,
no.
They could start the season with the two of them. See how things pan out.
I hope they do.
See how that goes. And obviously, if it doesn't go well, then they can start. then they can start entertaining offers.
Somebody says Brandon Cooks needs to challenge Ted Ginn. Brandon Cooks versus Ted Ginn. I'd watch that.
I would take Cooks over Ginn. I mean, come on, Cooks is.
Would you take Kamara over Ted Ginn?
I don't know about that.
If Ted Ginn is in the if they're doing it at the Tulane football stadium, you got to have a briefcase full of cash, right? Like right there. You can't just be like, "Oh, I'm going to give you $10,000." Like the giant check would be lame, right? You got to have $10,000 cash money.
Right. In ones.
Or $2 bills. $5,002 bills.
And nickels, rolls of nickels.
You know, Marshawn Lynch, he did an interview for the AFF. What was it? The AAF. And
oh, look, we've already forgotten.
Yeah,
they only lasted 3 months.
And he made them fucking pay him in nickels. They had to bring $5,000 of nickels to his hotel room, which I thought by him was fucking amazing that he was smart enough to know that league wasn't financially viable. And he's like, no, pay me in cash right now, and I want it in nickels. And they did it. So
wow. It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
I don't know.
By the way, you got to ask people on Twitter whether they got any questions too.
Yeah, so people, this is like,
hey,
they have
here,
football questions. Do you think of this is from ALV Saint 55.
Is Ralph just ignoring me?
Yes.
Are you here, Andrew? Yeah,
no,
jump
I'm not
right
here.
In.
No, I'm
there
not
you
here.
Go. You're so Andrew. So I got on. I told the people what you did today, where you leaked my voicemail that I left you, and people thought it was really funny. Somebody, people say it sounded like I had a seizure. But people are asking questions, and this is just to torment me, Andrew. They want me to pronounce that freaking running back from Nebraska, Ozigbo. They're like, is Ozigbo going to be the third or second string running back or the fourth guy? Is he going to be on special? Like three different people asked me that. They just want me to butcher that name. That's all that is.
Isn't it Ozigbo?
Ozigbo? Ozigbo. So yeah, have you ever seen him carry the football one time, Andrew?
Wait, what?
Have you ever seen Ozigbo or however the hell his name? Have you ever seen him carry the ball one time at Nebraska?
I had never watched him live, but when the Saints got him, I watched highlights. So I know it's Ozigbo because watching his highlights, I hear like the announcer go, and Ozigbo takes it to the end zone. Yeah, so.
So Torben asked, this is a good question, Andrew. Should we keep our picks in cap space for October improvements, or should we go and land Gerald McCoy right now?
I mean, on the surface, there's a lot to like about McCoy. He's awesome. I mean, if you're going to do it, why stop midstream?
Oh, man.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing blue.
I got a little itchy with the trigger finger. I wanted to play.
You might as well do the air horn now too. I mean,
what I wanted to do, Andrew, was I wanted to say if the Saints would sign Gerald McCoy in the next 20 minutes, I could play this, and it would be the greatest moment in the history of this podcast. I could play the breaking news music. But
okay, Ralph wants that so bad. But you know, listen, I'm not sure there's a place for him on the team. I mean, there's always a place for good players.
There's not a place for awesome.
Well, I mean, when you think about rank, I mean, would that not feel a little bit like Adrian Peterson? And I say that because you've got Onyemata, you've got Rankins, you've got Mario Edwards, you've got Malcolm Brown. So you've got really four guys in that defensive tackle rotation. And you have Stallworth, who's kind of your fifth defensive tackle, and that's a guy you liked. So, I mean, it's not like McCoy wouldn't play over some of those guys. Of course he would. But to me, that's a little crowded. Yeah, he would play over all those guys. But I don't know, man. I could be wrong. I just feel like there's not an obvious fit other than you're getting a good player and crowding the position.
Other than a fantastic podcast, Andrew. In the middle of June when they sign him and we can play the Gerald McCoy hype train. Besides that.
I mean, I'm into it. Yeah, so let's sign him.
I mean,
he's into it.
He doesn't sound into it. So
I don't know. I mean, is he really going to be awesome?
Yes. Yes, he's going to.
You're convinced this is not a Nick Fairley move.
No, I don't think so at all.
I mean, Andrew, here's the thing, I guess.
I think I agree with you, Dave, but I just want to point out, you are the guy in this podcast that always dies on the hill of, well, if he's not good enough for Team A, why are the Saints interested? That's like your
calling
card.
I know, but this is also my ideal. I'm glad you mentioned that because this is also this is the ideal scenario in which – you want a player to be released. I mean, he's still a good player. He's just his contract was too fat, and the team just did not want to pay that much money. You know, it's not like he wasn't good. It's not like he had a shitty season last season. It's not like he's coming off an injury. It's just a money thing. So this is the ideal kind of free agent to me in my mind.
Well, here's the thing, Andrew. I guess the question is, you know, I'm sure it will come out rather quickly whether the Saints would be interested in or wouldn't be. I agree with you. I think they just signed a bunch of dudes. I don't necessarily think they'll be interested in him. But here's my question to you. Do you think Gerald, and I asked, me and Dave were discussing this before you jumped in. Do you think Gerald McCoy is looking to get paid another contract, or do you think he'll ring chase?
I think it's a little bit of both, and that's why I am terrified he's going to the Rams. He's going to be the Sue replacement. I'm telling you, I'm nervous the Rams are going to pounce on this.
He'd be an upgrade over Sue. because Sue just doesn't give a shit for long stretches.
I mean, I almost think the Saints should sign him just to make sure.
Now you're talking, Andrew. Now you're talking. There you go.
That's what we want to know.
Welcome aboard.
So
it took me a second,
Andrew. If Ralph hasn't done it already, ask for questions on Twitter.
Well, are we going to do the worst Sean Payton moves?
I guess now.
Yeah, I guess we because you joined us, so we're going to do the final four now. Let's get to it.
Speaking of Nick Fairley.
We got Nick Fairley extension, the 9 seed, versus allowing Mike Cirillo in the building. And oh, by the way, is my cheesy collage of the final four left over? Dude, Mike Cirillo.
I don't know. I can't even see because it's so fucking blurry. Jesus Christ.
It's clear now. Refresh the page and it'll be nice and clear. All right. Cirillo looks like Paul Sorvino's retarded son that they keep in the basement. In Goodfellas. So
I can kind of see that. No, it just got blurry again. It was clear, now it's blurry.
So here's
fun while it lasted.
So here's the thing. Andrew, you start us off. Nick Fairley's extension or allowing Cirillo in the building, who you got?
Allowing Cirillo. I mean, this Fairley thing has lasted long enough, but like they've given plenty of guys extensions and it hasn't worked out. And I mean, it was just ridiculous that he had the heart ailment, like as the ink was drying. I mean, that part was ridiculous. I mean, that really did feel like a 80s Saints move. It really did. I mean, it was like a Dale Carter moment. But I just think at the end of the day, the whole Cirillo thing, the Vit testimony. I mean, how could you ever let a guy like that?
Yeah,
I realize that sometimes you just don't know until, you know, it plays out. But I mean, that whole situation.
Is today the worst day of your life? Yeah.
Exactly.
Who do you think broke the news to Loomis that like he had the heart ailment? Was it like an intern? Was it like a Saints doctor? Like who'd they make give Loomis the bad news, Dave, on Nick Fairley's heart being defective?
There's no way they could give that to an intern because that kid would he'd never work for the Saints ever again. He'd be so distraught.
Well, isn't it the same doctors that misdiagnosed Bro?
Yep.
That was before they were let go.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think the head guy should be the one who breaks that news. That's his job.
But I think on some level they're pissed at them because they feel like, I feel like it was the relationship with the doctors was already strained because the Bro situation was like the camel that broke it. I think the Bro situation in isolation, they probably don't get fired for that. But I just felt like clearly Loomis and Peyton weren't happy about something with their doctors leading up to the Bro thing. And I think it was a situation.
I mean, they blew up the Pelicans medical staff and hired the super trainer from Phoenix. So you got to go Cirillo. I mean, we've been over the last couple of weeks, the Joe Vitt testimony about how he's a liar. I'm going to sue him. His fabricated stories about, he had a relative die and the Saints offered to fly him home on the Benson jet. And then he said, I don't need it. And then he said he apparently borrowed money from people and they were when they went to Vegas for that trip, when they were like, we're done with our draft work. We're going to Vegas. And that was, what was that? 20. That was the 2014 draft. Andrew.
It was. Yeah.
And when it was a total disaster, but they went to Vegas and Mike Cirillo pulls up and he gets out of a limo with like three hookers and Joe Vitt's like, this guy said he's broke and he's getting out of a limo. So like, it's gotta be Cirillo, Dave. I mean, the Nick Fairley thing, you were right about it. You can take your victory lap, but Nick Fairley, he cannot win this turn. His contract extension cannot win this turn.
I'm not voting for Nick Fairley. I'm definitely voting for Cirillo. I mean, Bounty Gate was, you know, was a a league-wide news story, and that the NFL had never seen the likes of this kind of punishment, and probably never will ever again. And Fairley was just a disappointment and a misstep by the Saints. So Cerullo for sure.
So before we get to the other bracket, Stephon Anthony and Steve Spagnuolo, Andrew, Davenport is missing OTAs because of his foot injury. When do we officially begin to panic about Davenport? It's not yet, obviously, but when in training camp do we start to worry about him not being on the practice field? Because people are asking
playing the first preseason game, I'm officially worried.
That's fair. Dave, when do you start worrying about Davenport?
Yeah, I would even say if he's not training camp, if he's not practicing during training camp, that's a concern.
Day one, you mean?
Yeah.
Torben asks, is the hype train Ralph's morning alarm clock? No, Torben, this is my morning alarm clock.
The Bills got Zion, dude. They got Zion. They got Zion. Oh, I've never been this happy. Oh, this is great. They got Zion.
That's my morning. That's my morning alarm. My morning
there's
alarm
our,
clock now.
There's our new show.
The best part about that voicemail is when I listened to it, I didn't know that the Pelicans had the first pick.
They got Zion.
It's like I transferred. It's like I became a wrestling announcer and had a seizure at the same time.
Well, we get to hear what you having a seizure sounds like every week, actually.
Hey, we're plugged into the hardwire. Like, don't jinx it, Andrew. We're doing fine right about now.
Yeah, no, this has been top notch. So
hey, who won the Cerullo Fairley thing? Sorry, I wasn't. Cerullo. I missed that.
Sweep.
2-1 or 3-0?
3-0.
Okay. So,
Ralph,
I'm going to submit this on the.
Your voicemail kind of sounds like the Hindenburg. when do they say, oh, the humanity?
Oh, my God, they've killed him. That's a wrestling announcer. I forget. I forget his name.
Wait, so are we doing the other Final Four?
We're
doing that next week?
We are. We got people. Okay. That McCoy actually said he wants to play for a contender. So that will be interesting. But he can play
not
for
a contender.
He can play for a
you
contender.
You know who a contender is, right?
What's
the
that,
Rams.
Andrew?
The Rams
are a contender.
Yeah. They How sure much are. Cap space do they have?
I don't
do they
know.
Still have a bazillion?
Dave, do you know? Hold on.
No.
I'll search this.
I don't know the cap space of other teams.
Mike Dettillier points out when players win against Peyton, he never forgets. Gerald McCoy, he had that one game against the Saints.
The Rams have less cap space than the Saints.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do they have?
$6 million.
What do the Saints have? 8.5? 9?
8.5, yeah.
This is from Over the Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my
Good
cat.
Bot.
Thanks, Brian.
Good bot.
So, I mean, I would think, well, do you think teams would wait on Gerald McCoy, Andrew, because if you sign him post June 1, you get more, it factors into the compensatory formula? So you...
Well, no, because he was released, so he doesn't count as a real free agent.
Ah.
It has to be guys that have expiring contracts, so guys that get cut and then get picked up by someone else, that doesn't count against the formula.
Yeah, Ralph, don't you know anything?
Jeez. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the compensatory formula is like the Google SEO formula to rank shit when you type in it on Google. Like, no one knows it except, like, one dude, and they don't tell you. So the other matchup...
Like quarterback rating.
It is. Dave, number 7 seed, Stephon Anthony, number 3 seed, Steve Spagnuolo. who you got?
I'm honestly surprised that both of these guys made it this far. Surprised nobody else has taken them out yet. This is tough. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Stefan Anthony. I think that he was really supposed to be, he was supposed to turn the defense around, and he, you know, for years to come, he never did. Spagnuolo, I guess, you could say the same thing about him too, I guess. Shit.
Yeah. I mean, Spagnuolo though was only 1 year, and I feel like they reset it very well with Rob. I mean, Rob Ryan started out fantastic, right? But as you went through last week, I mean, they needed a linebacker, and the Saints, what was it, Andrew? They had five linebackers picked from when Stephon Anthony got picked to like pick 60, and three of them were good, and the other two were Kikaha and Anthony.
Yeah. Anthony was definitely a bust and a disappointment, but he did give us that game against the Panthers where he scored 8 points by himself. He did give us, you know, that. I mean, he had moments his rookie year. I mean, I would say he was bad overall, but he had over 100 tackles. He had some. He made some plays. Like, he wasn't. I think the weird thing is after his rookie year, it wasn't like we were all left saying, "I can't believe the Saints picked Anthony." I think we all felt like, "Man, this is a promising player. He's going to be good." And then it was year two. And after that, he kind of fell apart. So we got 1 year of Spagnuolo, and he turned in the worst defense in NFL history. So when I compare the two, I'm picking Spags.
Man, I don't know. You might have swayed me, Juge. I mean, the thing is that's interesting to me, Dave, is – and look, we can't – you can't do it because it's all hypothetical – but as bad as Spags was, and as bad as the players like didn't respect him and were just doing whatever they wanted, do you think if Peyton had been there in 2012, do you think he would have pulled the plug on Spags?
If Peyton had been there, he would have been fired sooner.
You think Peyton would have pulled the plug year one, like week eight?
Yes.
Ooh.
It was that bad.
Dave?
Possibly. Yeah, very, very possible.
So who you got, Dave?
And that's also why, yeah, and I mean, well, and that's, you know, because Peyton wasn't there, so it's, we don't really, you know, I feel like we...
Peyton wouldn't have done anything different. He doesn't coach defense.
No, but he tinkers, doesn't he? Doesn't he kind of get involved, maybe to the dismay of the defensive coordinators?
You're making the case that Spagnuolo would have been even worse with Sean Payton there.
I'm going with Stephon Anthony.
Oh man. Oh, it's so hard. Because now you're going through and whoever I pick is got a chance to win this, and I feel like
you gotta go Spags, man.
Yeah, I think I gotta go Spags because
well, I'm gonna tell you right now, it doesn't matter who you pick because I'm voting for Cerullo. In the final.
What year was that? The Saints defense was
2012. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, that was funny. Is that defense? It started out atrocious, and it basically made RG3 a star after a half of football. Like, the Saints looked like they had never seen a spread play their entire fucking life.
I mean, they gave up 7,042 yards.
7,000. Oh my goodness gracious, that is a lot of fucking yards.
They were 32nd in the NFL against the run, and 31st against the pass. It did not matter what you called.
How many yards did they give up total?
Over 7,000.
Yeah, that's like three Brandon Browner pass interference penalties.
So they got a – I mean, they traded Stephon Anthony, and they got a fifth-round pick for him. But before we continue –
you want to know what else is funny? Their average salaries that year or their total salaries on defense was $57.5 million. The Seahawks, who were the number one defense in the NFL that year, won the Super Bowl and only allowed 15 points per game. Their total salaries were $31.8 million on defense. Yeah. $25 million less.
That was all their defense, and none of their stars had gotten paid yet, right? Like, they were all draft picks, right?
True.
So before we get – we'll get to the final next week. But before we get to the questions and a couple more things, I want to remind you guys about my
– so you're going Spags, right?
I'm going Spags all the way. It's got to be right. It's got to be Spags. And I tell – the thing is with Spags is I just – and I say – people that listen to the podcast hear me tell this all the time. Walking out of the stadium the final game of the year, my mom was like, they got to fire him. And I'm like, they can't fire him and start over again. And she's like, what do you mean? It can't be any worse. They can't have this again. And I was like, they're not going to fire him. They're going to keep him another year. But as soon as the day Sean Payton got back, he probably sent a text to Spags and was like, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. You know? So before we get to the wrap up the podcast, I want to talk about MyBookie. Between their live in-game betting, endless props, and fantasy sports wager, there's something for everyone with the best player perks in the sports books business. They've been good to us, and they'll be good to you. They're hooking our listeners up all month. Visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code HAPPY25 when creating your account to get your 50% bonus. Laying down 100, you'll get an extra 50 to play. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code HAPPY25. You play, you win, you get paid. Here's the thing about Spags, Dave, that's so remarkable. He, in spite of what he did with the Saints, he kept getting high-profile gigs, and the Chiefs not only hired him as defensive coordinator, he is making most of the personnel calls on their defense. Like, they are like, we hired Spagnuolo. Spags, what do you want to make this defense good? And he's like, get rid of Justin Houston. Trade the dude to San Francisco. Sign Frank Clark. Bring in the Honey Badger. And it all sounds good on paper, but would you trust Spagnuolo to run your fucking defense if you were a Super Bowl contender, Dave?
No, I would not. I certainly would not. I mean, obviously that's not fair. Like, if Spagnuolo was your defensive coordinator the entire season and he got you to the Super Bowl, then yes, I would trust him. But if I had a different defensive coordinator the whole season, all of a sudden he got the flu the week of the Super Bowl, and you were like, quick, we got to get another defensive coordinator in here, it wouldn't be Spagnuolo. That wouldn't be my first phone call, no.
Torben says, plot twist, Peyton's fleur-de-lis tattoo is his worst decision ever, and we all just have no idea about how horrible it is.
I got to say, if we could get a picture of it, it's in play for sure.
It'd be in play. I mean,
by the way,
I just
want to point out that in the finals, we have a Cerullo versus Spagnuolo. You seeing a common theme here?
I am. We are denigrating your people, Dave. But I mean, it's democracy in action.
A lot of vowels. A lot of names ending in O.
Chad says, any amount of money in the world that the Chiefs' defense is a bottom three defense. Well, they were last against the run. Andrew, you look back at this bracket. I don't know if you have the page in front of you. Do you see any, like, what surprises of the four? I'm stunned. I'm stunned that Jarris Bird didn't get through.
Yeah.
I'm stunned that Junior Gallette didn't get through. Like, this final, the final two, it shocks me.
Yeah, the Greenbrier was out early.
I mean, that was sad. I worked so hard on that promo. I won't play it because it tends to eat our audio alive, but it was amazing. I mean, people have said that this is their favorite weird bracket that we did. I mean, this one's been fun. Do you think, Dave, that this one was more fun than the quarterback one or Saints player that people hated the most? This one's been amazing for the jokes. I mean, I figured this would be like a 12-team, 16-team bracket. That it got to 32 was amazing. But, Dave, besides, do you think this is our best bracket? What surprised you the most about it as we'll do the championship next week?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably my favorite. This is, you know, everything was contemporary. It was the Sean Payton era, so I don't have the memory like you guys do. So I was able to contribute more. So I'm biased as far as that's concerned. But no, this was more fun and I, you know, a little less. Even though it's got an overall negative theme to it. It's not as
Well, first of all, the timing's good because we've been successful.
Right. But it's not as negative as, like, you know, most hated Sean Payton players or whatever. I don't know. That was like maybe a little too much negativity. But
yeah, listen, I don't know if anyone has a personal connection to Sean Payton that listens to this podcast. Probably not. But I'm going to say this right now. I am personally inviting Sean to come on this show. And I'm going to tell Coach Payton, hey, you know, if you want to weigh in between allowing Cerullo in the building and Spagnuolo, if you want to come on this show and give us your 2 cents on which of the two was your worst decision, standing offer to come on here and give us your take. So
not only that,
maybe he'll take us up. I mean, I really hope he considers it because this bracket was a work of art. And it's all thanks to him.
It was. And Sean, if you come on, we will donate all of our patron donations to your favorite charity. And I will personally ship you a magnet and a koozie to the Saints office. How can you say no to that?
The koozie is pretty awesome.
It is. I mean, so Sean, just come on. We won't keep you the whole hour. We just need like 20 minutes. We'll just go through the final 8 of the bracket, and you can tell us which one is the worst. So speaking of koozies, people, get over to Patreon, sign up, get a koozie. It's amazing. And I implore you people, we love all our patrons, even the ones on Podbean. But why would you sign up on Podbean when you don't get anything for free? Go over to Patreon and sign up at the $3.28 level and you get a free koozie. We had 4 of you people sign up on Podbean. Jim, Carl, and I wrote the name. Jim, Carl, Stan, and I'm not going to butcher this name because he is Merlick. I'm not even going to say it, but it starts with an M. You people, you all signed up at the $3 level, but you did it on Podbean, so you don't get a koozie. Get over to Patreon. You won't get charged for it. Why are you people doing this stuff? I want to give away these koozies. Dave, how many of these koozies did I order? Like 200?
Maybe 300. At least 200.
Like, I've got like 150 of these things left. Maybe more. So get over to Patreon, and we'll ship it to you and send you a nice handwritten thank you note. So do it,
dude. I gotta say, next year I already know what bracket we're gonna do, and I want to thank Torben for reminding me of this. we're gonna have to do a Drew Brees worst decision ever. And, you know, the investment in the diamonds and, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. But I submit that one of the top seeds has to be marketing bracelets with his kid's DNA in it. That's got to be in there.
Yeah. I mean, Advocare is pretty bad.
I am so glad you brought that up. I just got that email today. I got the press release or whatever. About the DNA bracelets, you guys saw. You guys saw that.
I mean,
did he tweet that out today? Did he?
Yes. I think it was this week. Yeah.
I feel like there's a 30% chance that in 10 years Drew Brees is going to be broke and hawking a smoker at 3 a.m. on an infomercial. Like, he may be a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we love him, but I'm not sure he's good with money. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, he was hosting the pot in the Hauser scheme, too.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I mean, Jimmy John's has to be a top seed.
Yeah.
Are you building a Jimmy John's empire in a poor boy town? That's got to be top seed material right there.
That's a good bracket. Well, I don't know, though. It's fun, but can we get to 32? Andrew, I don't know. We need at least 16. We'll have to think about it. We'll file that one away.
Yeah.
But, all right, guys, thanks for joining us again in the live stream. I know, Andrew, you hate when I jinx it, but this has been like 2 or 3 weeks in a row where we have not had any serious audio issues because I'm hardwired in through the Ethernet. Thanks again to everybody in the chat room. We love you guys. This is fun. Next week, we'll do the champion of the Sean Payton decision bracket. Catch us tomorrow all week on The Daily Show. Sign up. It's $7 a month. You get a podcast every freaking day. So we didn't even talk about Game of Thrones because Kevin wasn't here. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who was MIA, until next week, the bar is closed.